first days out of bed for a couple of weeks, had shingles. So anyone that's had that, I had a few men come to me last time and said, that's fun. I said, yeah, I could think of other words. So if I fall asleep on you today, no, I won't do that. So yes, like Mel said, you know, happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there, whether it's your natural mum or a spiritual mum, just bless someone. It's a great day just to bless someone in your life today. You know, but yes, we are the community pastors at Carindale, and we were at Redcliffe, and I have 3 grown children, 3 married children, and 10 grandchildren. There's a photo of them somewhere. It looks like a classroom, I know. And it is a classroom when they come to your house. It sounds like one. And so for all of those, you know, that like to know all the bits of information, you know, so you can know all the information about us now. So, and for those of you that like to know all the other bits of information, I'm wearing a tablecloth. So there you go. It's a tablecloth from our vintage store. We're turning creations into clothes over there. So I'm helping all you men out there. So when your lady says, I don't know what to wear this morning, say, look, yeah, there's a tablecloth there, honey. Just cut a hole in it. And so that's just a little tip. When God says, don't you worry about what you wear, there you go. Just wear your tablecloth. So very excited to be here today and share with you, you've got this. The message that it's really close to my heart, just about encouraging you that whatever stage of life you're at, whatever's going on right now, I've had times where I think, like, that's it. I feel like, I don't know, I'm just going round on the rat wheel, and something's got to give here somewhere. Felt like years and seasons sometimes like that. But whatever it is, just to encourage you, you've got this. You got this morning. Priscilla Presley says this statement, everybody has a disability. My children's just happens to be fame. And I love that, because it's often that we think that someone's got it better than us and someone has it different than us. But no, actually, it's just all the same. We all, you know, have this lot called life. The word disability, that prefix dis, actually says it's a negative and reverse force to our ability. So actually it works the opposite to our ability. So I just put it to you today, like Priscilla Presley said, whatever your disability is, it might be finances today, it might be your intellect, it might be your background, it might be your past. It might be a physical or a mental, you know, disability that you have. But whatever it is today, turn it around, look the devil in the face and say, this is not going to stop me from getting to my purpose. This is not going to stop me. You know, there's a man called Terry Josephson, never heard of him. He said this amazing quote though, no matter where you live, no matter what you do, we all live within the confines of our head. And so it's almost like as if no matter what happens out there, you've heard that saying, no matter what happens to you, it's what happens in you. And today I just really, really want to speak on that. Joyce Meyer says the battlefield's in our mind. Well, how come then if we look at that and we think everybody's, you know, had a bad deal, how come some of us seem to have stuff together? Some of us don't seem to. And I really believe it's all what happens up here. It's all what happens up here. It's what happens up here that's going to determine tomorrow. Maybe things might change in life, maybe things might not. But it's going to be what happens up here that can change, and that can change something. See, one of the problems is we sit in church and we watch whoever it is, pick one of these people and go, wow, they're amazing. I don't know how they've got that talent. I don't know how they got on that stage. I don't know how they're doing that. And we look at that person, but I'm sorry, that person that plays the piano can't help you in the courtroom tomorrow. Because you need a professional lawyer to help you in the courtroom tomorrow. And so we need to be able to look and say, God needs all our uniqueness, all our giftings, and whatever that is, that's what God needs on your life. You know, whatever that might be. Your uniqueness might be medicine. It might be a totally different field, but God needs that to influence the world because he needs every part of us to be able to influence people out there, not just the little bit that we see within the church or we see a few gifted people. It's lovely to turn to this DVD and watch this.
Yes, I can. Gee, I'm afraid to go on and turn me to. Yes, I can. Take a look, what do you see? 33 pounds of confidence. But then I can do anything. Yes, I can. Something that sings in my voice for me. Yes, I can. I was just born today. I can go all the way.
Yes, you can. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one of the things I just want to start, you know, just share with you today, just some different things that I've found in my life that have helped me think that I can. And one of the first things is speaking. Speaking, speaking, speaking over my life. And there's two ways that we speak over our life. We speak over our life towards our own life, sometimes just telling your soul to shut up. David just said, soul, be quiet. Soul, be quiet. Stop it. Just stop these voices in my head. And the other way that we speak is we speak with authority over the things in our life that need to change. Because the Bible says we can calm the storm. He showed us how to calm the storm. He says, now I've given you the power to calm the storm. So we can speak to those areas in your life. If you say you can, you're right. But if you say you can't, you're also right. When my son was away from God and he was on drugs and doing lots of things that he shouldn't have been and away from our family, praise God, if you read my book, he's back now and doing amazing. But if through that time, I kept on asking God, why? Why, God? Why? And I found that the more I asked why, the less space and time I had to ask God how. Ask God how. How can I change this? What do I need to do? What do I need to do to change this? Whereas when you're asking why, you get so caught up with that, it keeps you back in the past. Wow. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. If you knew who you were, if you knew who you were, you would just radically, radically change this world. You know, the devil doesn't want you to know who you are, because he knows how much you do. And if we could speak to our mountains and tell them to be removed and keep speaking it out, then we would see change in our lives. I do it deliberately. For me, it's a deliberate thing. I actually write out 7 confessions that I actually have got them in front of my journal. They're just one-liners. There's one-liners over every area of my life, over my health, over my finances, over my marriage, over my children. I write them out, and I write them, try and write them out morning and night. Now, I've been doing it for probably about 12 years. Don't always get morning and night. But I just know that that as I've been writing those things out, things begin to change because I'm speaking into the atmosphere. Had a gentleman come to me after first service and he said he had a mother-in-law, an ex-mother-in-law, I think he said, but this lady in his life that used to say every June, on the 1st of September every year I get hay fever. He said, I knew her for 30 years. He said, every year on the 1st of September she got hay fever. He said, I know how powerful it is. If that's how powerful it is in the negative, how much more powerful could it be in the positive? Yeah, exactly. How much more powerful could that be in the positive? So whatever, you know, have someone beside you that arrests your speaking and say, honey, you know, you say that a bit too much. We need to be saying this. Have someone that says that to you alongside of you that can say that in love and be able to start prophesying. The Bible says we all prophesy. Deuteronomy, it says, choose life and death that your family, choose life, not death, that your family might live. Wow. In Proverbs, life and death are in the power of your tongue. The life is in the power of your tongue. Life or death is in the power of your tongue. And so start deliberately speaking out over your life, speaking out over your circumstances and telling them where to go. Just telling them where to go and stop this negative talk that's going on in yourself because you will believe yourself first. The second one we added this morning, I don't know if they added it there, was step out. Just step out. You were born for more than this. You're born for more than this. This message today, as much as you've got this, you're also born for more than this. You're born for more than education. You're born for more than a mortgage. You're born for more than retirement. You're born to actually make a difference. God actually created us to be little creators, to solve problems, to be here for a reason. And so just do something today with your gift. The parable of the man with the talents, and you know, the whole parable is about he just did something. He just did something with his gift. He just did something with what he had. And so that's, God's not asking us to have someone's talents or this person's talents. He's just saying, what are you going to do with the talents I've given you? What are you going to give with the talents that I've given to you? Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. David failed. Joseph failed. Abraham failed. They all failed. Like there's all through the word. I don't think there's one person in there that goes, you know, I don't know if they failed or not. They all failed. But it's when we actually rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to have failures. But remember, what did I write here? Don't be afraid to make mistakes because your strengths will always outweigh your mistakes. You know, your strengths will always. We remember all those great men and women in the Bible. But we don't really ever say, oh, you know, David the adulterer. We actually say David who had the heart of God. Yeah. You know, we know they were there. They're obvious we know they were there. The same with your own life. Don't look at the mistakes. Look and go, what are my strengths? How can I rise up from this and what can I do with this? The third one is soaking. That's the way we're going to actually get back into this mindset that I can do this. Soaking and soaking and soaking in the presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of God. The word soaking means to be immersed in water. And what does Jesus say? He said he is the water of life. It says in John 4:14 that you'll never thirst again if you come to me. You know, life is like a marathon. It has lots of metaphors, but if we were getting ready for a marathon or we were getting ready for a uni exam, I'm studying uni at the moment, I've gone back to uni and, you know, I put my best in that sometimes. Sometimes I try and wing it. But I put my best in there to see that I'm actually going to do a good job. Well, why don't we do that with life? We know what the word says. You know, all the verses. It says in Isaiah, if we wait upon the Lord, you know, we'll renew our strength. We will not faint. If we wait upon the Lord, it says in Joshua 1:8, if you meditate on the word day and night, you will have good success. I've got a deal happening with God at the moment. I'm like, right, God, you said, if I meditate on your word day and night, I'm going to have good success. So I'm like, right, okay, I'm putting you to the challenge. Myself more to the challenge to see if I can do it day and night. But it's like that. It's being able to say, this is what God says brings fruit in our life, brings good things in life, and why don't we do it? I'm talking to myself as well. Why don't we do it? Yes, we soak in his presence. We all know how great worship feels. to do it till we get back on Sunday. Well, that's me. I don't know about you. But sometimes, you know, I forget to do it till I get back here on a Sunday. You know, we all know to soak in his power. When I read the verses in the Bible, when I read the stories and the things that God does, I go, seriously? There was a, you know, not a dead person, not someone in a coma. There was a bag of bones. A bones? Just a pile of bones. And God made those bones live? Yeah. Come on. No matter how dead your situation looks, no matter how dead it looks, it's not a bag of bones that has to have life in sinew and all those things put back on it. And so when we read that, seeing that, soaking that power of God, it's like, wow, wow. God, you can do this. God, you can do this. I think sometimes we actually get this concept that God's going to do everything. But actually, if you look at the story of Lazarus, he went to the tomb. Jesus went to the tomb. He said, Lazarus, come forth. But what happened? If you look at that story, you'll go, I would have thought Lazarus would have come out not stinking and looking and smelling like roses. Jesus did a miracle. Like God did a thing here and brought someone back to the dead. What actually happened was when he came out, he still had to take the grave clothes off himself. And so we're going to look at it and say, God, it's your power. It's your power that moves things, changes things in my life. There's no doubt about that. But what do I have to do? I have to renew my mind. I have to read the word of God. I have to prophesy. I have to speak to circumstances. What do I have to do to get the stinking past of my life? And as we do that, then we walk and we see that resurrection life. It's not about just God doing it, because if you hadn't realized, if God just would have did it, we probably would be all, what do they say, skinny, rich and whatever. Like, you know, it's not about God doing it all. It's about us partnering with God and saying, okay, God, it's your power, it's your might, but what do I do in this scenario to change the situation? And so as we soak in his presence, that faith comes. You know, as we soak in his promises, the promises are there. There's hundreds and hundreds of promises that sometimes you have to speak out over a storm. And sometimes you have to tell the devil, no, this is what God's word says. Stop it. Shut up. Stop those thoughts. This is what God's word says. This is what God's word says. Find those promises in your life that you absolutely know that you know that you know that you know that you know. And they're the ones that when the enemy comes and lies to you, says, you can't do this, you haven't got this, they're never coming back to the Lord, your marriage is never going to be any good, your finances are never going to change. You say, devil, this is what the word of God says. This is what the word of God says. And I promise you, because I have done this with my son, I have done it nearly through bankruptcy, I have done it through many situations in my life where I've had to look. And sometimes you will say those promises thousands and thousands times a day. Why? Because you know and I know we get those negative thoughts thousands and thousands times a day. So when those thoughts come, have that word of God there and be able to speak it out. And just like Jesus did to the devil, he said, Satan, get behind me. This is what the word of God says. And eventually then what happens is a little bit of faith comes, a little bit of faith comes, a little bit of faith comes. How do you know you've got faith for something? When you've got more faith than you've got doubt. When the doubt and the unbelief don't look as big as the faith, and you say, actually, I now know something's going to change here. And that's when something shifts in us and we go, right, I know something's going to change. So as we're getting this message through is that I can do this. Soak in his promises, soak in his presence, soak in his power. And the last one is sow. Sowing, sowing, sowing. It's just a real message of our life, which is really interesting because I've got some of my books at the back in the info desk. Some of these got damaged, so I'm just selling them for $10 each. But it's a real message of Simon's and my life, sowing. And this is the story of Jacob, how he went from absolutely nothing in every area of his life to this amazing, you know, influencer of the world. And I say that, you know, the message on our life is sowing, But only probably a few years ago, we realized both of us, S-O and S-O, sewing. You know, that's our initials. And it's like, God, you put this message on my heart, and it's just such an incredible message of the way to leave a legacy is to look and see what seed you're planting for the future. What seed are you actually planting for your future and for other people's future? And just as you know, we meditate on that, look and think, what sort of fruit am I, you know, are people picking off my life? Are they picking something that's rotten? They're picking something that they're picking up this fruit off my life and it's just rotten, it's just no good for me. It's just, you know, sort of not good for them nutritionally. Are they picking something off our life that's amazing? You know, and they can take that gem. I don't care who you are, where you are, what, it doesn't matter. A donkey spoke to Jesus. And if you regard people, you will actually grab this fruit from their life. You'll just draw it out of their life. And you can be with a small child, you can be with a 90-year-old person, and just something they say goes, that's my next step. That's my next step. So don't ever take regard for the things that you've gone through and the things, and say, is it good fruit that people are, you know, picking from my life? Maybe it's, you know, a preserved fruit. Maybe something in your life that you have said or done, or, you know, I don't know, the field of work that you work in, if it's medicine, you actually might produce a fruit that people will be able to eat off for many, many years later. You know, you might produce a fruit that people can actually even eat off when you're dead and gone. And they go, that person invented that, that person said that, that person did this in my life, and now look, I can eat of that fruit of that life. So whatever you're sowing in your life, don't think it's not important. Because daily we sow. Daily we sow, good or bad. Daily we reap harvests in our life, good or bad. Let me share a story with you from here, but I've got many, many, many stories in there about sowing, because like I say, it's just a part of our life. We didn't have a lot of money when we were first married, so I think I had to learn the principle of sowing and reaping, or we would have ate Vegemite sandwiches for the rest of our lives. So God is a good God. A good God in what he's done in our life. But I thank God for that season. I was talking to a gentleman in the first service and he had his leg amputated and he said, I'd never go back to having both my legs. What an incredible statement. And you know, I look at our life and I'd never ever take back the season where we ate Vegemite sandwiches, because I had to call on a God and I didn't have money. So I had to say, God, how does this work? And God showed us. He says, my ways are not your ways. He showed us such an incredible way of increase in our life, financially and every other way, to receive blessing. And so my husband wanted to send my children to a Christian school. And I said, look, we don't have the money for that. We can't do that. And he goes, no, I really, really want them to go to a Christian school. And so I was just really worried because I knew we couldn't afford it. And in the middle of the night, one night, I woke up. I literally sat up and I said, I've got a seed planted. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'll tell you in the morning. And I went back to sleep and I woke up the next morning and I had remembered that many years prior to that, that someone had asked us to sow into an orphanage for children in Africa, and that the three things that our money was buying was toilet paper, uniforms and school books. And I said to him, we planted that seed way back then, so I know there must be a harvest coming. And he's like, oh, okay. And he was quite matter-of-fact because he thought they were going to go there anyway. I don't know how he thought they were going to go there, but oh, okay. 3 days to that day, the principal of the school rung us up and said, I believe you've got a minibus. I said, yeah, it holds 12 people. You know, he said, if we use that minibus, your children can come to the school free. Wow. God is good. God says that his ways are not our ways. So when I really, really encourage you, you know, all of these messages go together for me. You know, as you're speaking, don't say you have to buy something. Say, I thank you, Lord, we need this. Yeah. You know, I say to my husband now often, like, actually, we need such and such. I said to him one day, oh, you need, this was one Sunday, oh, you need more aftershave. That's what I said to him, I don't say we have to buy. I don't whinge about it. I say, you need more aftershave. He went to church, walked into church, and a lady walked up the very next week and handed him his favourite bottle of aftershave. I could go on for hours, hours at the cafe, one day standing there. I said, someone, look, we won't go to Costco this week. The only thing we need is croissants. It wouldn't have been 10 minutes later. A man walked in the back door, this was 3 or 4 months ago, and said, he said, do you need any croissants? And I'm thinking, okay, a bit eerie. I said, oh, why is that, mate? He goes, these actually fell out the back of my truck. He said, I can't sell them. If you need them, they're yours. That is serious. And it's just, that's what God does. So if he can entrust you with your words, you actually... The way you reap in life is not the same way as the world reaps. It doesn't reap by buying everything. I could go on, honestly, on and on and on and on, about it's not God's ways and not our ways. And so he says, what are you going to sow? What are you going to sow today? What are you going to sow in the future? What legacy are you going to leave for people in the future? Because today it's the same in the natural as in the positive. You know, if you're going to sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. And sometimes you might say, but I've done all this and it hasn't worked. God says, I will not be mocked. I will not be mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. It is an irrevocable law. So if we continue to keep planting, one of the problems is we put a seed in the ground and we go and pull it up by the words we speak. Keep it in the ground, keep it there. Keep it in a nice environment and eventually that seed will come and it will bring a harvest for you and for other generations. You got this. You got this. Just look at God's ways and say, you know, I need to be encouraged this morning that I can get through this season. What are you speaking? What are you soaking in? What do you need to step out in? And what are you sowing? To be able to say, when you begin to sow, you will see an amazing force come into your life that just brings incredible change. All of these principles, as you use them to their fullest capacity, you'll see such a force of change because it's God's way. It's God's way for us. He's trying to show us, this is my way for you to walk into the promised land. Just like the Israelites had weapons, these are our weapons. And these are the things that will produce an amazing harvest in life. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father God. Lord, I speak right now over this congregation. I speak, Father God, over marriages. I speak over finances. I decree, Father God, over, Lord, children that have lost their way, prodigal sons and daughters. I command that this is to change. In the name of Jesus, I decree a blessing over this house and over everybody that's in this house. And I thank you, Father God, that, Lord, we repent of the times we have brought things down by our words. And instead, Father God, right now, I release life into every situation that's in this place. And I say that the name of Jesus is greater than any situation, any name that's in this place, any disease, any situation, any circumstance.